In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the year of our Lord, 1224, 2 years prior to his death, St. Francis of Assisi withdrew from the world for a while to commune with God on the summit of Mount Alverna, a lonely mountain in the Apennines. He was accompanied by Brother Leo and a few others, but he chose a hut apart and gave instructions that no one was to come near him except Brother Leo when he brought him food or other necessities. This is how St. Bonaventure tells it. Quote, "It was the custom of that angelic man, Francis, to be ever ascending toward God or stooping toward his neighbor. For he had learned so wisely to apportion the time granted unto him for merit that one part thereof he would spend in laboring for the profit of his neighbors. The other he would devote unto the peaceful ecstasies of contemplation. Therefore, when according to the demands of time and place, he had stooped to secure the salvation of others, he would leave behind the disturbances of throngs and seek a hidden solitude and a place for silence, wherein, giving himself up more freely unto the Lord, he might brush off any dust that was clinging unto him from his converse with men. Accordingly, 2 years before he yielded his spirit unto heaven, the divine counsel leading him, he was brought after many and varied toils unto a high mountain apart that is called Mount Alverna." Close quote. St. Francis began a 40-day fast in honor of St. Michael the Archangel. One morning, close to the feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, while in prayer upon the side of the mountain, he saw a remarkable apparition. Francis saw what appeared to be one of the seraphim angels, having 6 wings, glorious and fiery, flying to him from heaven. As the seraph drew nearer, Francis noticed that it was not only winged, but also crucified, for the hands and feet were stretched out and fastened to a cross. While the wings were arranged in a wondrous manner, 2 being raised above the head, 2 outstretched in flight, and the remaining 2 were crossed over and wrapped around the body. When Francis saw it, he was amazed, and his soul was filled with both sorrow and joy. For the eyes of the seraph were full of strange love and tenderness, which brought Francis a great rejoicing. But the nailing to the cross was so exceedingly dreadful that as Francis saw it, a sort of sorrow pierced his soul. The seraph began to speak silently to Francis's heart, and Francis understood that, albeit the deathless seraphim cannot suffer or faint, this vision was nevertheless set before him, that he might know that as a friend of Christ, he was to be all changed into the likeness of Christ Jesus crucified, not by the martyrdom of the body, but by the fervor of the soul. The 2 held together some sweet converse. Then the vision passed from Francis, but his heart was kindled inwardly with the fire of the seraphim, and his body was outwardly changed into the likeness of him who was crucified. Francis's hands and feet seemed bored through in the middle with 4 wounds, and these holes appeared to be pierced with nails or hard flesh. There was also on his right side a red wound, as if made by the piercing of a lance, and from which blood often flowed, staining his tunic and underclothing. Francis understood that just as he had imitated Christ in the deeds of his life, so now God willed that as his death approached, he would be made like unto Christ in the sufferings and wounds of our Lord's passion. Saint Bonaventure writes, quote, "The true love of Christ had transformed Francis into the same image. And after Francis had spent 40 days in solitude, as he had determined, when the feast of St. Michael Archangel came, this angelic man Francis descended from the mountain, bearing with him the likeness of the crucified, engraven, not on tables of stone or of wood, by the craftsman's hand, but written on his members of flesh, by the finger of the living God. Close quote. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Crux fidelis inter omnes, arborona nobilis, nulla silvata nem provet, fronde flore germine, dulce
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Two outstanding marks of all the saints are, one, the love of God, and two, a closeness to the cross of Christ. We saw an excellent example of this in yesterday's commemoration of the stigmata of St. Francis of Assisi. As I mentioned yesterday, after the miraculous vision of the six-winged seraph, not only did St. Francis bear in his body the very image of the crucified Jesus, but his soul burned with ever greater ardor in its love of God. Don't forget this, because many times, and it's understandable, what most impresses us about this remarkable apparition are the wounds of our crucified Lord that St. Francis bore in his body. But let us not forget that even more importantly, his soul burned with ever greater ardor in its love of God. Love of God is the defining characteristic of the seraphim angels, who are highest in the hierarchy of the nine choirs of angels. Seraphim comes from the Hebrew word seraph, to burn. The seraphim are the burning ones, burning with love of God. They are the spirits of love. We use the term seraphic to describe a person whose life is completely ruled by divine love. Thus, the seraphic St. Francis of Assisi. St. Joseph Cupertino, today's saint, was also a Franciscan. The Franciscan order is often called the Seraphic Order because of its founder, St. Francis. Note that in today's collect prayer, Joseph Cupertino is referred to as a seraphic confessor. Why? Because the love of God and a closeness to the cross of Christ were defining marks in the life of St. Joseph Cupertino. Joseph Cupertino was born in the year of our Lord 1603 in Cupertino, which is a small village in the heel of Italy, that is, the extreme southeastern end of Italy. This morning I'll say just a few words about closeness to the cross of Christ and love of God in the life of St. Joseph Cupertino. Closeness to the cross of Christ. From a very young age, Joseph Cupertino began to live a life of prayer, mortification, and penance. After becoming a priest, he passed 5 years without tasting bread or wine, during which time he lived only on herbs and dry fruits. The austere life which Joseph Cupertino led is the reason why the offertory antiphon of today's Mass makes reference to hair cloth and fasting. St. Joseph Cupertino is perhaps best known for his gift of rapture. Oftentimes his body would levitate, especially while at the altar during Holy Mass. There were even times when he would fly through the air. One of those examples has to do with his closeness to the cross of Christ and his desire to bring others closer to the cross of Christ. On one occasion, a Calvary scene was being erected. Two crosses had been set in place, while the third, a much heavier one, lay at some distance from its place. Joseph saw this from his monastery, flew to the cross, picked it up as if it had been a splinter, and dropped it into the hole intended for it. And here we might think spiritually about what this means, that he flew to the cross. We might say spiritually, flying to carry the cross and then accepting that cross, that is, dropping it in its proper place. And now on to love of God. At the name of God, of Jesus, or of Mary, Joseph Cupertino was, as it were, out of himself. He would often cry out, quote, "Vouchsafe, O my God, to fill and possess all my heart. Oh, that my soul was freed from the chains of the body and united to Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus, draw me to thyself. I am not able to live any longer on the earth." Close quote. He was often heard to excite others to the love of God and say to them, quote, "Love God. He in whom this love reigns is rich, although he may not perceive it." Close quote. Don't forget these beautiful words, simple words, of St. Joseph Cupertino. Love God. Love God. We heard today's epistle from 1 Corinthians 13, Scripture's greatest teaching on charity due to St. Joseph Cupertino's remarkable love of God. He truly put the charity of 1 Corinthians 13 into practice. And finally, consider the introit for today's Mass. Today's Mass begins, quote, "The love of God is honorable wisdom," close quote. There is a profound link between wisdom and the love of God. Don't just think that wisdom has to do with knowledge. Remember that of the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, the highest and most privileged is wisdom, because it has to do with the love of God. Wisdom not only illumines the mind, but inflames the heart with the love of God. This is what true wisdom is. To know that what is most valuable is God, and to have a great, intense, enduring love of God. The gift of wisdom gives one an ardent desire for heavenly treasures, especially a longing to possess God and see Him face to face, to be able to love Him for all eternity. Saint Joseph Cupertino received the gift of holy wisdom in abundance. His seraphic heart burned with the love of God and valued this above all. His heart longed to possess God and to see Him face to face. May we pray for the same. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.